And if anyone doubts my ability to hear thoughts, I rest my case. The long answer to that, of course, is Jesus loves you. And the short answer to that is, well, it's almost summertime, and we all know what happens around this place when it comes to summertime. I'll let you guys to fill that as you will, because I love Elaine, and I thank her very much for giving me this opportunity to come before my church family and speak a message that has been on my heart for quite a while now. And starts with a bit of a story. Last summer, about this time of the year, I had a crisis of faith. It wasn't my first crisis, nor was it the last one I've had in the last 10 years, but it certainly was very important. As Diane mentioned, I've been going to Emmanuel Bible College for the last 3 years. And I went there on the recommendation of a very good friend of mine at the time, who had heard stories of me telling of how God had placed on my heart that I was going to be a pastor. And I promptly and emphatically said no every time it was brought up. Well, I took the leap. I gave in. I quit my job at the time. It wasn't much of a job, but it paid the bills, and I had a lot of money left over for some fun afterwards. But I was working about an hour away from my home, so I needed the time off to send in the application, and dove in January 2009. And immediately after I made that decision, the difficulties started. Going back to school wasn't that big of a deal. I just graduated from Conestoga College that April, so I had experience with post-secondary education. And, you know, I've had time out in the world and on my own, so adjusting wasn't too great of an ordeal. But being back in first year was really difficult. I remember going to the registrar and saying, come on, what's the deal? I've done my time. This is not my first year. Why am I taking Monday and Friday morning classes? But the biggest challenge was going to bridal college. No, that was not a Freudian slip. We joke around about it for on end, but it's kind of true, isn't it? Girls typically go to Bible college to get their MRS. And guys typically go there to pick up their MRS. But, you know, I had been around the block a few times. I was thoroughly convinced that I was only there to acquire the skills and the knowledge that I needed and the confidence to be built up in me to get up here and speak to everyone on a weekly basis. But, you know, it's just being single was really distracting at Bible college. You'd think that being a guy in my situation, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. But you try having people having their heads perk up every time you enter a room. And it doesn't really help when people start sniffing at random and someone in the crowd saying, fresh meat. It did get distracting after a while. But I was so focused on getting my work done, putting my nose to the grindstone. I was there for one purpose and one purpose only, to follow what Jesus had called me to do. And I didn't really care if people thought that I had a rod stuck up my backside, so long as nobody gave me an excuse to take it out and beat someone with it. I was perfectly fine at the time. That didn't last. I allowed myself to get distracted by one of the distractions there. And I thought there was no harm in it. As I said, I've managed post-secondary education before. I knew what it took to succeed in that. I could maintain the balance, right? It wasn't the first time I was wrong. It quickly became clear that that this was a major distraction for me when I found out that the other person was not as committed to the relationship as I was. So that was not a happy time. My grades took a nosedive. Now, I'm not a grade hound to begin with, and all that mattered for me was the fact that I was still learning the things that I needed to learn, and I could retain it. It doesn't matter to me if I'd be graded poorly on my recitation or anything like that. But it was a hard blow to me. I spent my second calendar year, Diane said I was in my second year, on paper. I've been there since January 2009. This will be the end of my third year. So my second calendar year, I decided to bury myself in the work once again. I found that rod, put it back where it belonged, and forgot about everyone else. Put my nose to the grindstone, worked my backside off, and I finished that calendar year, the 2010-2011, on the Dean's Honor List with an 86% average. But I was not satisfied. I felt hollow throughout the entire year. I knew that something key was missing. There are a lot of peripherals missing as well. The friend that first convinced me to go to EBC in the first place wasn't around as often as I would have liked. And I was still unemployed. And when I came back home last summer, I was in one of the biggest funks of my life. I had thought that even without the distractions in my life, that God was not blessing anything that I was doing, even though He's given me an amazing family to give me a place to land when I struggle like this and when I'm not too proud to ask for help. So when I was seeking the answers to everything, I sought God every day, and I ran into this verse from Matthew 10. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. That didn't help. It confirmed to me that I had lost sight of our first and most important commitment to follow Jesus. And I really did not know what to do, because when life happened to me in the way that it does with every young man and every young woman, I decided to pursue life and where it was leading me. Then my best friend gave me my birthday present early that year. It was a book called Better Than Good by Zig Ziglar, a Christian motivational speaker and author from the South. And what he does is he provides scriptural basis for providing right thinking, not just positive thinking, but the right thinking that we have as children of God, and where we can find our identity in Christ. And he writes to a general audience, and he details what life could look like after being disillusioned for a very long time. And since I was disillusioned, that my life did not look anywhere the way that I thought it would have been, I kept on reading. And I got my head screwed on straight. Then I forget the context of how this happened, but I was returned to this verse one more time. Anyone who does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Anyone who finds their life will lose it, but anyone who gives up their life for my sake will find it. I don't know what happened at the time. It was last year. But it was time that I decided to recommit to following Jesus the way that I had some 13 years ago. Not only did I commit to follow Jesus, but I also committed to him the path by which I would follow him. Now, I know it probably sounds like I'm holding on to this big secret that I found in Ziglar's book, but that's not the case. It just provided a source of scriptural references all in one place to get my head screwed on straight that I needed to make this first step. I'm not here to preach Zig Ziglar. I'm here to preach Jesus. And I just wanted to share with you the story of how I came into this verse, and now I would like to share with you what I've made sense out of it over the last year. First thing, following Jesus is hard. I know that we, as the church as a whole, have kind of done a poor job at communicating what this actually means. We can be kind of trite when we explain what it means to take up one's cross. And I know that I am not going to be able to provide all the pieces to the jigsaw puzzle so we can make the picture look like on the box to this morning. But it will not do any good for me to just say you have to experience following Jesus in order to understand. Jesus is obedient to the Father's will. He even said that he can't do anything apart from the Father in John 5:19. To follow Jesus is to live a life that is obedient just as much as Jesus is. There are so many messages found in the world today that are very positive, very beneficial for us, especially when they seem to line up to what we know that God has called us to do in our profession, in our lives, with our time, etc. But Paul writes in Romans 12 that we need to break away from the thoughts of this world and have our minds renewed by the Spirit so that we can test and be assured of what God's will is at any given time. I thought that what I was doing at Bible college was fulfilling God's will. Now, don't get me wrong, I have learned skills that I need and the knowledge and the theology and the Greek, that I need to be able to come up here and speak on a weekly basis. But again, our first and our most important commitment, our calling, is to follow Jesus and to be obedient in everything. Now, I've left out a lot of details in my story so far for the sake of brevity, but I had lost sight of this. And I came to understand that one mistake does not negate this obligation. When I had been distracted and everything fell apart, and I took that year off, I realized that I needed to have some downtime in order for me to recover so that I can get back on track. But disillusionment and disappointment itself does not negate us from making our commitment to Christ. Paul says in Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14, "And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked with him. You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory." Following Jesus is hard, and there are times where we need to take a rest. I had to take that year of downtime so that I could get back up and breathe and continue on. I've known people who have had their downtime to be a matter of days, and I've had known people whose downtime still numbers in the decades. But that still does not excuse us to not get back up and do the Father's will. The second thing that I learned about Jesus' words in Matthew 10 is that God knows that we need this downtime. Remember, from the moment of creation, God provides everything we need abundantly for our blessing and our enjoyment. There will be times when all we have to do is simply enjoy the life God has in store for us. Let me say that again. There will be times for us to enjoy the life God has in store for us. The problem arises when we start thinking in terms of commitment in this life, thinking that we deserved it, we've earned it. If Jesus can do nothing apart from the Father, then we can do nothing apart from Jesus. John 15, verses 7 and 8, Jesus says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." There have been times when I was given elements of life to enjoy for a while. What I have come to understand is that I grabbed a hold of these things because I thought very foolishly that this would be the last or the only time that I could enjoy them. But in Philippians 2, we are taught that Jesus did not grab a hold of his equality with God, but rather he denied himself of the rights and privileges and power which came to be, which he had with being equal with God. So when Jesus says in Matthew 10 here, to give up our lives for his sake, he doesn't mean sacrifice. Sacrifice implies destruction, but rather he means to surrender our lives for his sake. Yes, there are things that are in our life and in this world that we should have absolutely nothing to do with and that need to be let go right away. But as I mentioned earlier, God has given us many good things abundantly. God knows what is for our benefit at the proper time. So when Jesus says that we need to give up our lives, we really should give up our lives. Because when we let go of something with our hands palms up, metaphorically speaking, we are saying, "Here they are, God. Take them as you will. I do not hold on to them. And I ask that you give me what I need in your time." Finally, what God has in store for us is far greater than what we can possibly imagine for ourselves. Now, I have a vivid imagination. I was born a dreamer, or so I'm told. I was brought up reading the great authors of all time, as well as the icons of my generation. And I've had a pretty good idea of what this very moment was going to look for me. Yeah, right. Regardless, I can tell you this. If I went back 10 years and told me that I was going to be doing this, I would laugh in my face. If I went back 10 years and I told me about everything that I would experience up to this point, I would walk away from myself. But if anyone here were to go back 10 years and tell me something about who I am today, I would have your attention. God made many promises to his people, all of which, by faith, have been renewed by Jesus Christ, and they have been applied to us today through the new covenant. One of these promises is that God has great plans for every one of us. Jesus says that anyone who finds his or her life, anyone who receives life, claims life, lives life, will lose it. Put another way, if you hold on to something too tightly, it will slip through your fingers. It should go without saying that life is far more than the air in our lungs, the blood being pumped by heart, the electrical impulses stimulating our brains, some less so than others, I am aware. But life also includes our jobs, our resources, our stuff, friends, family, our dreams, our passions, our desires, and our plan. If we are to take God up on his promise to have for his great plans, we need to surrender ours. It's really hard to receive something when your hands are clenched. When I still had no dreams for my life, I received a dream that I signed up for immediately. That was some time ago, and it still hasn't happened yet. For a while, I kept on thinking that I missed it because I was distracted by life. Then last summer, I started reading the prophets. It was a long and boring summer, but I found this promise in Habakkuk 2, verse 3. This is from the Contemporary English Version. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. It seems slow. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. And I know that many of you have been waiting for this very moment ever since I was knee high. You guys have been awesome, my church family. You guys have been a huge influence on me, and I thank you. And I have to say this right now. Sorry I'm late. I was lost on the road of life. The only way that we can know for sure if what we have is God's will is if it remains with us, if we let go of it and give it up. Or if it comes back to us after surrendering it after a long while. But know this, if we surrender our lives for the sake of Jesus, we will receive a life far greater than what we could imagine on our own. Now, because I have spent a year wrestling with this verse and my personal commitments, I've learned far more than what I have time to tell you about this morning. But I feel the need to finish the story behind what it meant to dedicate my life to following Jesus this last year. My philosophy professor asked a question that not everybody consciously thinks of on a day-to-day basis. He asks, what is the one thing that you have or that you are doing that you would sacrifice all other things to have? Now, not everyone has a ready answer for this, and this is perfectly normal. But I do advise, I recommend that you find what that answer is for each and every one of you individually, because that will reveal what it is that you are truly devoted to and the one thing that you truly worship. For me, over the last year, and even to this moment, it is to acquire the character of Christ. The first step for me was to become obedient and disciplined, just as Jesus is towards the Father's will. For the last year, this meant feeling absolutely helpless and powerless when my mom was in the hospital. I had to do the hardest thing in my life this last year when I gave my dad's speech to Patrick and Kim at their wedding. Shortly after that, my back got injured, and the medication I was on triggered a very deep depression in me. And during that time was when Paul had his accident. You can imagine how well I received that news. And I was just coming out of that when I received word that Richard Durant had passed away. All of this happening when I'm 150 clicks away from you guys, and there was nothing for me to do except to focus on what was in front of me. And all this time, my friends were out having fun and good times. They were doing things that I really wanted to do with these people. And they were things that I wanted to do only with these people. But I did not have time to whine about the things that I did not have, things that were going away, around far away from me. I had to focus on what was in front of me, and that was my schoolwork. And I had to endure the torture that is Koine Greek for the last 8 months. I finished this last school year, the 2011-2012 school year, with first class honors, 96% average. I'm still unemployed at the moment, but my pastor and my mentor at Glen Acres Baptist Church has given me opportunities to shadow him at his job, doing some functions that are the prerogative of a pastor. And many of you thought that I was just going to be locked in an office 40 hours a week, reading musty old tomes and translating Greek and making sense of outdated theology. No, I have to do weddings and funerals and all the prep services like that. Oh boy, the messy human stuff, don't I? But these experiences have given me the relevant work experience that I have been wanting for the last 3 years. And I am nowhere near finished in my commitment to follow Jesus, to attain his character. I will keep moving forward. I will rest when I need to. And I will charge forward, break down the barriers, climb the walls, run through the minefield when I have to. As Christians, we have made the commitment to follow Jesus from the moment that we first believed. Even if we would not have articulated, if we had not articulated as such in those words at the time. But The adventure is unique for each of us. The cost of following Jesus is unique to each and every one of us because the plan is unique to each and every one of us. I know that I said a moment ago to determine what it is that you're still holding on to. But before you do, take a look back and see how far you've come. Go back in time. Tell that person 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 3 days ago. Doesn't matter how far you've come along. Go back to the person that you were at that time and tell them about the adventure that you've had. And then pick everything up and walk forward on the adventure still ahead of you.